this morning and open it to the book of Luke, the Gospel according to Luke. You know, Luke was a doctor.
Thank you, Juan. Appreciate that. I want to read verses 11 through 19. This is a true story. It's recorded by Dr. Luke during the itinerant ministry of our Savior, Lord Jesus. The Bible says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, except or save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Father God in heaven, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Help us to be people of gratitude. Help us not to be like the 9 who fell behind. Help us to be like the Samaritan. God, may the Holy Spirit open our hearts and our minds to the therapy of thanksgiving, how it is not only an attribute that blesses you, but is a therapy for us. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Thanksgiving is not just a national holiday. And I thank God for our forefathers. They had the obvious motivation to give thanks, because they know that it was only by the hand of a merciful God that as the settlers came here, those pilgrims, that they even survived the first year coming off the Mayflower. And it is a wonderful thing for a nation to remember that. But I think in the day which we live, we have forgotten. God has so designed Thanksgiving that it is a therapy for our soul and an ointment, as it were, for daily living. The holiday may very well benefit us to put life in its proper perspective. I hope the sermon kind of helps you with that, maybe to reset your gratitude button, as it were, to reset that in your life. I had to ask myself this question as I was working on this message. Whatever happened to Thanksgiving? I'm sure we all have noted that many of the stores are clearing out their ghoulish Halloween trappings, only to fill that space with snowmen, gingerbread houses, trees, and other holiday paraphernalia that has nothing to do with the true meaning of Christmas, by the way. But when I was growing up, there was a holiday between Halloween and Christmas. That was Thanksgiving. And we made a big deal about it. And we made a big deal about it because we understood the desire of our forefathers to be a grateful nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. Thanksgiving, unfortunately for the merchants, does not provide ample monetary benefit. And so in our culture today, it's largely passed over. It is overshadowed the very day itself by everything from football. Am I right, ladies? The football games to parades. And then there's that early Black Friday shopping spree that they just have to, you know, progressively challenge you to be part of. But where is the challenge to be thankful? I praise God for the churches that keep it alive and the few Christian ministries that proclaim it and proliferate it. But it is far, far fewer than it used to be. In fact, the turkey, which, by the way, was slated to be our nation's bird. it did keep the pilgrims alive. It fed them. And that's why we have a turkey at Thanksgiving. But it seems that the turkey is the last remaining remnant of an official national holiday that was designed to give thanks to Almighty God. And it really gripes me when I learned that the holidays deviated into being called Turkey Day. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I remember one time I was in the supermarket and, minding my own business and just shopping with my wife, and a guy goes up to somebody and he goes, are you ready for Turkey Day? And I felt like yelling, it's Thanksgiving Day! Not Turkey Day. We don't celebrate the turkey. We praise God for the turkey. Years ago, there were themes of gratitudes in store shops. It was definitely common at school. Now I don't even know if they bring up Thanksgiving. It was on TV, and there's still a few television networks that will run some ads saying Happy Thanksgiving. I wish they'd be more pronounced about who we're giving thanks to. I remember the day where you could go by a store and you would see displays of pilgrims and Thanksgiving feast in the store shopping centers. You don't see that anymore. No longer. And the holiday has been vanishing gradually from national awareness. And you really have to look hard for any public display of giving thanks to the God who has placed this nation here. And listen, it's not just our generation. Abraham Lincoln wrote an address where he rebuked this nation because we had forgotten God. We had forgotten to give thanks to the God who brought us upon this continent and blessed us with prosperity. Woe to the nation that turns their back on Almighty God. It is righteousness that exalteth the nation, and it is sin that is a reproach to its people. When a nation is unthankful, the nation drowns in ingratitude, that nation becomes corrupt. And I don't need to go far to prove that. quickly, keep your finger in Luke. We're going to come to that story. Go to Romans chapter 1. And those that have been studying the book of Romans with me, you'll be very familiar, of course, with this passage. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, we find the reason for the decline of a people. Paul says, because that when they, speaking of the people, knew God, they know that they ought to acknowledge God, that they ought to give thanks to God. And the Bible says, these people, they glorified God not. They didn't glorify Him. And neither were they, what's the next word?
Thankful.
But they became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. As you continue to read that passage and study that passage, you see what happens to a people, a nation that is ungrateful and has an attitude of ingratitude. Folks, we must choose to be thankful. Not always easy. We choose to be thankful just as we choose to love. Love gets kind of washed up into this idea that, well, if you don't have that emotion. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, it wasn't emotion, it was a choice. Thank God that he made that choice, amen? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He made the choice to send Christ. He made the choice to become a man. He made the choice to die on the cross. That He could reconcile the lost humanity back to Himself. And we ought to be grateful for that. We can choose to be thankful. And the reason we may find it hard to give thanks, well, listen, they are as many as the troubles that hit us every day. Job said that, did he not? It doesn't give us an excuse not to be thankful. Difficulties, trials, tribulations, they don't take a break for the holiday. Not even Thanksgiving. There is a way, however, to find reason to be thankful even during the darkest episode of life. And when you can be thankful, even in that, it will be therapy for your soul. It will lift you up and it will give you a peace that passes all understanding. But you have to choose to do it. Let me tell you a true story about Matthew Henry. For those who don't know who Matthew Henry is, he's a very famous Bible commentary. Most pastors I know have his commentaries. I do. But you know, Matthew Henry was an ordinary man just like every other man. And one day he was robbed of his wallet. When he died, they found this in his diary about that night. He said, here are the things that I'm thankful for about what happened to me tonight. First thing I said, well, why would you be thankful that you were robbed? He wasn't thankful that he was robbed, but he found a way to be thankful even in it. Here's what he said. This was in his diary. Number one, he thanked God that he had never been robbed before. Number two, he thanked God that though they took his wallet, they did not take his life. Number three, he thanked God because even though they took it all, it really wasn't very much. And last, in his diary he wrote, he was thankful to God because he was the one that was robbed and not the one who did the robbing. I never even thought to look at it like that. Truly, and I've been there, you're going to have times you're running late, going down the road, you get a flat tire. You got to call AAA or get out there and change it yourself. And you're grumbling and you're griping and you're murmuring. But God has a reason sometimes beyond what you see. He knows the beginning from the end. As you drive down the road, you see an ambulance and a cop car. And you have to say, thank you, God, that could have been me. Find something to be thankful for. It will be therapy for your soul and will help you to put life in its proper perspective. When the curtain of struggle seems to block out your joy, and we've all been there, we can overcome. Number one, because we're saved. We're saints of God. We have the Spirit of God in us. And when we choose to be thankful, the Spirit of God will empower you. We need to learn to go back, to return, as I've titled this sermon, return and be thankful. We can go back and we could be thankful for the people that God brought in our lives that made a difference. Amen? I've done that on a number of occasions. Not that I knew anything about this being therapy. Just because in the bottom of my heart, I knew it was the right thing. I remember my brother and I, one day we rode our bikes from Camden, New Jersey to Riverside. For those who don't know the geography, it's about 15 miles. Camden being a, death trap, and Riverside being a paradise. But anyway, we had heard that the nun who taught us in elementary school was transferred from the Camden Rectory to the Riverside Rectory. And so when we got there, we first visited my uncle. He had a gas station there, and we got a free soda. It drove all the way to Riverside to get a free soda. But then my brother and I go, did you hear Sister Benedicta is now over at this St. Pete's? I said, no. He goes, yeah, let's go over and see her and thank her because she was really, really nice to us boys. We didn't have much. And she was really nice. So I rang the bell and Sister Benedicta came to the door and she was kind of shocked to see me. And she said that. She goes, wow. She goes, I didn't expect to see you. And then she saw my brother and she almost passed out from shock. I'm serious. She's like, I knew you might come back, but not him. But we had a wonderful time thanking her for the things she used to let us do together to help so we could feel a part of the school, and for how she encouraged us to read. I was encouraged to read by Sister Camilla and Sister Benedicta, and that helped me to learn to spell. It helped me in all of the other subjects. She took an interest in me. And there's somebody like that in your life that maybe they helped you academically, and maybe even more importantly, spiritually. Have you turned back to thank them? It will be therapy for them, but it'll be more therapy for you. And I think I kind of learned this when I was in Catholic school. And by the way, many of you know that I was formerly Catholic. I had some issues as I grew older with the theology, but their education was second to none. And I'll always tell you that. Their education was second to none. I was the shortest, obviously, in the class, so they would put the shortest up front. And I sat right by the door. My desk was right next to the door. So people who would come would knock on that door. And many a time, they were former students. And they could say, could I speak to Sister Camilla? And I would hear the chit-chat. And it would be grown adults who just wanted to come back and say thank you. I got my first job because how you encouraged me. I read my first book because of you, sister. Are there people like that in your life? You say, yeah. Have you thanked them yet? One of the things I learned from the first church that I was a part of, Faith Baptist Church in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, my wife's home church, was a dear saint by the name of Mrs. Neamy. And she would do an awful lot for everybody, especially for the junior church kids. And she helped us get our first house. And we would often say, Mrs. Neamy, we're so thankful for what you've done. And every time, without fail, she'd say, don't thank me, thank the Lord. So have you thanked the Lord yet? Did somebody bless you in a wonderful way? Have you gone back? This story tells us that the majority of people don't do that. Only one returned to thank the Lord Jesus. Do you know that Jehovah God understood that we can digress into an attitude of ingratitude? And so God gave the Israelites the means by which they would remember to have a grateful heart. And so that the Israelites might understand the importance and the therapy of thanksgiving, Almighty God initiated 3 annual feasts so they would remember to be thankful. We only have 1. They had 3. Passover being the first. The Feast of Weeks, the second. And the Feast of Tabernacles, the third. Those 3 holidays would remind Israel that, number 1, God fought their battles. Number 2, God provided for them as he did in the wilderness and sent them manna from heaven and quail to feed them. We need to be reminded to be thankful. And maybe I don't do that enough from this pulpit, but I would hope that Thanksgiving week would be a challenge, just like a revival is, to reset that button, that gratitude button. Now let's quickly look at verse 11 to 13. We all understand and appreciate the importance of gratitude, how it can uplift, how it can encourage, it can radically change a person's demeanor at the moment. Last month, being October, a couple in our church unexpectedly sent me a card of encouragement. What a blessing that was, because it came at a time not known to them that I was looking for just a little encouragement. I praise God for that, and I thank them for it. One of the first things we are taught as children, if we're brought up especially in a Christian home, is to express gratitude. I don't suppose that there is a story anywhere else in the Bible that's so endearing and timely as appropriate as the story of the 10 lepers. You know, leprosy was the most dreaded of all of the ancient diseases. If you got leprosy, it was like a death sentence. It ate away at the body. It left it a victim maimed and disfigured and outcast from the society. At the time, there was no known cure. They had no hope for a family life. They had no hope for a useful occupation or vocation. There was no need to make plans for a future because the possibility was highly likely they were going to die young. I think many of us know that leprosy is a disease of the nervous system. And when the nerves lose their sensitivity to tell you something is hot, something is cold, something is causing pain, or something hurt, then you eventually injure your body. And eventually fingers and toes and often ears and noses were lost because of infection and the disease of leprosy. And the situation for these people was made obviously worse because it was believed at the time that it was highly contagious. In fact, in the book of Leviticus, there were laws that a leper had to call out. They were unclean. so they could not contaminate others. We know today that that's not the case. But tell that to the ancient superstitions. In their times, lepers were treated social outcasts. They were kicked out of their communities, their homes, their jobs. They were left to an existence of practically begging. The scripture makes it quite clear that as these lepers approached Jesus, they stood far off. Did you pick that up? Verse 3 says they did something that you wouldn't have to commonly do if you're next to a person. And the Bible says, and they lifted up their voices. What does that mean? Well, the Greek word there is the word phoné. What does that sound like to you in English? Phoné. Phone. And the word in the Greek, phoné, carries the idea to carry over a distance. That's what a phone does. Carries your voice over a distance. And their voice carried over this distance because Jewish law clearly prescribed that a leper could not get within 50 yards of a clean person. Now, it's not a study about leprosy, but I wanted to give you a little bit of background. If you want to learn more, go to Leviticus chapter 14, especially the first two verses. You can imagine their excitement when Jesus sent them on their way to the priest. And did you know that he didn't say, "You're healed," like we see and hear these healing services? Jesus said, "I came not to destroy the law, but to what? Fulfill it." And when you read the book of Revelation, it talks about if a leper has been cleansed, they have a responsibility to go to the priest, that the priest can declare them clean. And so Jesus, in verse 14, "And when he saw them, he had compassion," we know, "on them." And the first thing he says is, "Go show yourself unto the priest." That was like saying, "Go show yourself to the priest. You're healed. I healed you. You're healed." But he didn't say that. "I healed you. Just go show yourself to the priest." And it came to pass, which indicates to me from Koine Greek, that time passed. And you would only understand that if you understand Levitical law. That the ritual of cleansing took time. Now, they didn't need to be cleansed. They were already cleansed when Jesus healed them. But they still had to, satisfy the Levitical law. And the priest would be the one to say, "Okay, you've been here and, we went through the cleansing process and you're healed." I guess the Bible doesn't tell us, but I guess, and I agree with Pastor Thomas, if the Bible doesn't say it, be careful about declaring it. But it does say, "And as it came to pass that as they went," that literally as they were probably heading to the priest, they were what? Cleansed. They were healed. I can imagine, and I say imagine, that they knew this, that maybe a warm sensation began creeping into their once dead fingers and toes. Think about that. You know, you can't feel anything here, and the next thing you know, it's coming back to life and it's feeling warm and tingly. Can you imagine the feeling of that? And they're able to go back to their families, their communities, and their jobs. Their past life was over. They were healed. They were saved from the disease of leprosy because of Jesus. Now let me take a minute to apply that spiritually. Are you saved? Spiritually speaking. If not, you have leprosy of your soul. And if you were to die, you would be outcast forever from the presence of Almighty God in the place we know as hell. So I ask you, are you saved? And most of you here, if not everyone, would say, "Pastor, I'm saved." Well, let me ask you, have you thanked God yet? What was your past life like? Sometimes for me to be very thankful about my salvation, I got to go back and think of what a rascal I was. Oh God, thank you. I might be in jail. Wasn't for Jesus. I might have did something that would ruin my life forever. Have you thanked Jesus yet? Think about what was your life BC? BC, before Christ. And be thankful. Sadly, in the story, only one cleansed leper returned to thank the Lord Jesus. You know, gratitude can be easily overlooked. And I understand that because of the excitement of this new life, the excitement of this great gift, the moment of success, the moment of healing, the moment of victory. But that's no excuse to be ungrateful, amen? Yes, be happy, be excited, but be thankful. But we're not very good, especially in the day and age which we live, of being thankful, are we? Heard the story, it's a cute story, but it also is a sad story. Well, like the little boy I heard about on his return home from a birthday party, his mother said, "Bobby, did you thank the lady for inviting you to the party?" "Oh, I was going to, but the girl ahead of me, she said thank you, and the lady said, don't mention it." So I didn't. Yes, we live in a generation where young people have an entitlement mentality and not an attitude of gratitude. This man, did you know what it said here? Go to verse 15. He not only returned, but the Bible says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Have you done that? Number one, have you returned to God to give him thanks? Have you turned back to be thankful to somebody who did something great for you? I remember the first time I preached this message, I said, you know what, as a pastor, I have to live what I preach. And I thought about some people that I had thanked, but then there were some people that I felt guilty about that I had never thanked. You know, I had never thanked the man who gave me my first job. I thought, I ought to do that. So I wrote him a letter, and I thanked him. I didn't hear back from him, but that's okay. It wasn't about hearing back from him. It was about doing the right thing, and it was therapy for my soul. And the Bible says, not only did he with a loud voice, phoné, glorify God, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And the Bible takes the time to say, and he was a Samaritan. Now we know a little bit about Samaria. They were Jews that intermarried with the heathens. And you know, that was a violation of God's law for Jewish people. They were to marry within their own people. And so they were looked down upon by other Jews. But Jesus made no difference with them, as we know from the story of the Good Samaritan, as we know of the story of the woman at the well of Sychar. Jesus made no difference. And he makes no difference here that none of the Jewish lepers came back, but the one who you would have thought would have turned away was the only one that came back. And that's how it is sometimes. Sometimes it's the people who have lost the most are the ones who understand gratitude. And Jesus answering, and he said, and this touched my heart, I hope it touches yours. Were there not 10 cleansed? And he asked, where are the 9? Jesus is God in the flesh. He wondered, as any person would have, I did all I could, and only one has enough respect and love to come back and say thank you. there are not found, return to give glory to God. Save or accept this stranger. Because Samaritans weren't considered part of the family of Jehovah God. But the stranger came back, gave glory to God. And that tells me God does seek our glory, our praise to His glory. Amen? He does seek that we glorify Him for what He does. And this part, I think a lot of people miss. Verse 19, and we're done. And He said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Not only was he saved physically, he was saved spiritually. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, lest any man boast. I'm going to close. But I think in light of the world we live, we need to understand that it's ingratitude that is a sign of the end times. And I am very, very sad to say that we are inundated with ingratitude. Go, if you will, just for a minute, to 2 Timothy. And I'm not going to preach what I have here. It will take too long. But I'm just going to say this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, we are told that in the last days, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then the Apostle Paul gives 20 characteristics of what that time would be like. And I think, folks, we're there. And do you know what one of the 20 is? In verse 2, next to the very last one of that verse is the word what? Unthankful. And isn't that a evil spirit that we're seeing today? True gratitude comes when we realize where we would be without the help of Almighty God. And along life's way, God often sends us a mentor, a comforter, a counselor, an encourager, an advisor. And who knows, He may have even sent you an angel that you're unaware of. Have you thanked God yet? When was the last time you went back and thanked someone that God brought your way? When was the last time you thanked God for your for saving you? Are you thankful for that? I hope you'll come Tuesday night and express what you're thankful for. I close with this. Thankfulness is a conscious response that comes from looking beyond our blessings to the source of those blessings. When we think of all that God has done for us, we are obligated. We are compelled to give Him thanks. Father God, forgive us as a nation as we have fallen away from our forefathers' mandate to have a true day of thanksgiving. And I do pray that the saints across this country will take more time to count their blessings, to exalt you for all that you've done for us. As a person, as a church, as a community, we won't get just wrapped up in the football and the turkey and the trimmings and all of that. And that we give thanks to you for those opportunities of family. But that we recognize you are the source of all of our blessings. Oh God, help us and help our nation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take our song book. You know, it's unfortunate. We don't have a whole lot of songs in this hymn book about Thanksgiving. But we do have a few. And we're going to sing one that was written many, many, many years ago. What's the page number on that? I don't have my bulletin. 592, if you want to use the hymn book. If not, it'll be on the monitor. We're just going to stand together, and let's prayerfully do the last verse, and we'll be dismissed.